Hello, and thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Billy Newman Photo Podcast.
Today I wanted to talk to you about the performance of the new MacBook Pros. Is there an issue with them? I don't know. I've heard a couple stories about it where these higher, I'm sure probably the entry-level system is quite adequate and definitely a very positive type of computing experience that you're going to get from it. I'm sure you're going to be happy in a lot of experiences, but there's talk in the i9 system specifically because of its heat output. I think that, you know, that's the new division of, there's the i5 processors, the i7 processors. Now for laptops, for the first time in Mac at least, you have the option to get an i9 processor. Now, I guess this has a significantly higher heat threshold than the processors before it. And the laptops don't have a better system of removing that heat from the system than the previous laptops or than the other iterations of the laptop in the same line that produce much less thermal energy. So this is kind of, I guess, been a performance hindrance in some cases because there's something called thermal gating. It's a system where when the computer gets too hot, somewhere around boiling temperature, can you imagine? That's happening just in your little laptop, heat venting out of your keyboard. Goodness gracious. That's what you have to do to get 4K video coming out of a laptop. So with all this going on, with that processor trying to not breach a boiling point, it does something called thermal gating where I guess it turns your fancy new 4 gigahertz i9 processor into quite a bit slower 1 gigahertz processor, kind of churning through some things because of its heat output and because of how much heat it's generating. So it's definitely kind of an interesting thing. I guess there was a YouTuber that did a video render from an Adobe Premiere file. They did it on the desk where it was was spinning up the fans, producing a lot of heat and stuff. They put it in the freezer, which I don't know, is maybe a good idea, maybe not. I'd maybe do it, but put it in the freezer, and I guess the render time was 20% faster because it was not running up to the thermal gating as fast, I guess because it was a better heat dissipation system, though it's not an optimal system to run a computer in a freezer. But because of that system, you know, it's a laptop, a very thin laptop, trying to run very high performance utilities. So I'm kind of curious about, you know, really what the design perspective is on that. It'll be interesting to see where things go from here, and I'm sure things will probably be fine. But I don't know. I still don't like USB-C. That's how old I am. Give me a headphone jack.
You can see more of my work at BillyNewmanPhoto.com. You can check out some of my photo books on Amazon. I think you can look up Billy Newman under the authors section there and see some of the photo books on film, on the desert, on surrealism, on camping. Some cool stuff over there.
I was learning this tactic called feather sticks. You guys heard of that? It's like a bushcrafting term. I hate that word. I'd way prefer like camping or hunting or something like that. But in the world of bushcrafting, which I'm sure you can YouTube, there's this, and it's actually a really brilliant idea. And a lot of that stuff is great of generating the skills that you'd need to run, to manage yourself in the outdoors. And I think kind of the thinking behind it is the more that you know about how to work with your environment, the less gear you need to carry with you, and really the more apt you are to make proper choices in a short period of time that will help you out. So that's really helpful. So, you know, just kind of like having fire building skills or knowing what to do and how to set up camp or how to run a tarp or how to get water, all that sort of stuff. Anyway, in this case, you take some of these sticks that I'm talking about, some of these drier ones, you take your knife, your sturdy bushcrafting knife that people so like to talk about, and I think you take around 24 inches of that stick and kind of break them down to 24 inches or so. And then what you're supposed to do is take that knife and sort of, what would it be? Like, kind of like peeling a potato or something. Or like, you know, if you got to like kind of peel a carrot, what you want to do is kind of start at the top and then you want to peel into it. You kind of cut in with the knife just a little bit and then you'll run a slice of that down all the way down to the end of the bar, but you don't slice off that flake of wood that you've been pulling up. You try and make it pretty thin too. It's called feather sticks for a reason, right? So you try and kind of make it like a thin strip of wood that's kind of pulled up from it, and the wood will just kind of naturally curl up on itself as you chop on it. It takes a lot of getting used to. You kind of have to get to, I don't know, you got to get the hang of trying to get those feather pieces down. Because you have to hold it onto the stick itself. So you cut down all the way to the last like 2 inches or so of the wood, and then you leave it. And so what happens is that you cut
you kind of rotate the wood, and then you cut down, rotate the wood, and cut down. And so what you get after doing that for a while is just a bunch of these real thin flakes of wood that are all gathered up at the top end of this stick, and then you have a nice dry piece of kindling that's sort of worked down next to it. And so what you do is a lot of bushcrafting and camping stuff is just doing a lot of preparation and a lot of work that sort of seems like, man, should have brought a lighter, or, you know, should have brought some newspapers or something. That would have done more. But if you're into bushcrafting, yeah, that's one of those things you can do if you have nothing around. But yeah, you make these feather sticks, and they're good fire starting material. If you get the right wood that's dry enough, you can kind of run down and get these plumes of these kind of these little like plumes of wood flakes, and they'll burn up real quick when you get a fire going on them. But what I did for this one, the other fire tip, what was the one I heard? Cotton balls and Vaseline. I hear that's like the fire starter ticket, because it's pretty pretty neutral. You can use the Vaseline for a couple different things, and the cotton balls too. But that petroleum jelly that makes up the Vaseline will rock a fire, and the cotton too. So yeah, you take a cotton swab from the bathroom, the Vaseline, you put that in like a Ziploc bag, and then you pack that into one of the pockets of your backpack. And you can get a fire going with a lot of stuff, or you can get the base of a fire going with a lot of stuff. Like, that would work great. Even with like a flint rod. I can't remember what the other word is for it, but those flint rods that you strike, and then you run a spray of sparks onto it and stuff. You can do that. I always bring a lighter or a couple lighters with me. I got one in my pocket right now, but those are really easy fire starter tools where you can light that. You got a good flame going for a sustained amount of time running off the petroleum jelly and the cotton, and then you can stack smaller twigs and sticks and stuff on it, and then run bigger branches on that really quickly, and that helps out a lot. In my case, I didn't have that. I had a couple napkins from lunch, and I had some fern that I spotted over here, and it had died out. And so there's these dried out fronds of fern leaves over, I don't know, about 50 feet over here under the side of the road. So I went over there with my knife, and I cut down a couple handfuls of those. I came back over to the fire. I laid out a bed of the smaller sticks at the base, and then I stacked in a bunch of the dried fern as a bed there. And then I put some of the strips of paper towel that I had balled up in a section there, and then I stacked up kind of a little fort, like a little lean-to fort of some of the smaller sticks, and then I had some of the bigger sticks sort of ready to go. But lit up the paper towel in two spots is what I tried to hit. Lit the paper towel in two spots with the lighter, and then real quickly I just kind of held over the ferns, those dried ferns, and they lit up real fast too. So that was a great fire starter piece, and that cuts a big flame really quickly. And then I put that over it, and then that kind of got the lower ferns sort of burning and some of those sticks going. And then I threw on those the smaller twigs over it, and then that caught and threw the bigger sticks on there. So dropped a couple logs on there. I was kind of scavenging them from some of the other fire rings that I was passing along the way, even though I'd gone out. What was it, it was probably a month or so ago now, and I collected a good bit of firewood up in some of the areas outside of where I was working at. And I'd drive around, and if I see like some downed, dried out wood on the road, I'd throw it in the back of the truck, and then I brought it home, and I cut it up, and then I stacked it up. And so some of it's kind of seasoning out now. We've got a little fire pit at home that we're kind of using it with, but I was going to bring some of that, some of the twigs and some of the kindling that I had, and then I forgot about it and didn't bring any firewood with me, which is fine too. No, it's cool. Really, almost any time I've gone out camping in the past, I've never brought firewood with me. Even probably at times I should have, or, in places that you're not supposed to scavenge firewood, or that it's been so used that there's just no firewood in any capacity left to scavenge. Gosh, where was that? It was in Wyoming. Yeah, it was in Wyoming. We were traveling. We were camped out at a spot. And campers just go through there. We were in September, so I'm sure, it's just been constant use from, April until then, right? It's just been constant use, and it's been like that for the last 100 years. Or how long? We're not the first, but in that area out there, there had just been nothing available to burn. So all those flammable resources have been collected by other kindling hunters in the past, and it's kind of interesting to see how that goes. So we kind of had to be resourceful, and we had to kind of figure out how to gather enough stuff. But we did pretty well. You know, like you can kind of go to like pine needles and pine cones sometimes. Those work pretty well and are often pretty dry and will burn well enough. They're not going to be a sustaining fire. They're not going to really like get up embers going to the degree that you could really cook on in an effective way. But you can cook on it. I mean, you can get some stuff going and in some other ways you can get, you know, enough of a fire going that you can get a log going. So that's normally what I would have is, you know, you have like one or two good logs that can kind of keep things kicking for the evening. But to get that going, you need to have some smaller stuff. And normally that you just try and find where you show up because, hey, you can't be, you know, there's going to be sticks around. So you try and gather that stuff up. But man, if it's a busy area, that stuff will have been scavenged. Shoot. But that's not my problem now. So I'm loaded up on some firewood, and I got a good bed of coals going that I can get this stuff rocking with. You can check out more information at BillyNewmanPhoto.com. You can go to BillyNewmanPhoto.com/support if you want to help me out and participate in the value for value model that we're running this podcast with. If you receive some value out of some of the stuff that I was talking about, you're welcome to help me out and send some value my way through the portal at BillyNewmanPhoto.com/support. You can also find more information there about Patreon and the way that I use it. If you're interested or feel more comfortable using Patreon, that's Patreon.com/BillyNewmanPhoto. Yeah, this summer I've been trying to do a lot to work to get together some new photos, some new stuff to try and kind of build a base and then move from there a little bit. But I'm really excited to try and put up a bunch of the older portfolio photographs that I have. And I was really happy to work on the website a lot this summer. I kind of redesigned a bit of that. You check that out. Tell me what you think of it. It's at BillyNewmanPhoto.com. And I've tried to strip out a lot of the unnecessary parts, and I'm trying to kind of hone it down a little bit so it's a little cleaner, but it's going well. I'm trying to set it up a little bit more so it's stream based, if that would make sense. You know how we've kind of moved toward like the Facebook stream, the Twitter stream, the Instagram stream. So I'm trying to kind of move it to where, like I talked about on the podcast before, where a lot of the media stuff that I put together, the video clips, the photographs and stuff, that wherever they do end up going, whatever sites I am populating, like Flickr and Instagram and Facebook and all the rest, that's kind of what's shown on the website, or, you know, how the website's going to try and automatically pull that stuff and ingest that into the website so I don't have to do it as much. And that's kind of been fun, actually, or it's kind of been cool doing that. But the thing that I need to do, the part that's still left, is I need to go through my photo portfolio, kind of the long-term portfolio of images I have. And I'm trying to go through and select what would be good to show the work that I've done so far. And I'm trying to do that in a way that's more developed than I have before. I've gone through and I've kind of picked the photos that I like a lot, but I'm trying to do a couple different things. And hey, another truck. Man, that looks like a few tons of gravel in the back. So what I want to do though with the photo stuff, and what I've kind of been trying to work on a little bit, is to go through Instagram or to go through Facebook and to try and select my favorite photographs, but then also to select the ones that have been sort of chosen by the market. That's another idea that I'm trying to go for. What do people actually like of the pictures that I take? What are the ones that people seem to connect with the most? So in one level, I'm trying to find all those photos, and then I'm trying to sort of remake those photos or re-edit them, or, you know, kind of republish them in a way that looks sort of new and that's cleaned up a little bit in the way that I can edit and create stuff now. So part of the step is that, and then the other part is to sort of learn what people like of the photos I make, and then I want to go out and try and make more of that, or I want to try and dig in a little deeper on the part that seems to get the most traction or that seems to be seen as the most valuable. So on one of those, like what I've noticed, what I've noticed anecdotally so far is that the low light stuff, or the astrophotography, the night photography, the landscapes where there's stars matched in the background, seem to really perform really well. And I really love trying to take those photos. And I know a lot about how to lay out the stars that I would want in that photo. Or, you know, I know where the stars are. I know how to kind of line some of the landscape stuff up, and I know how to expose for it. So that's a part that I'd really like to get into and push for more, and what seems to be a draw of the photos that I take. But on the other side of that too, I really want to do more
more fine art photography. That's what I really liked and was kind of drawn into when I first started taking photos, even way back on film before I knew how at all. But I really liked the fine art side of it, where you could go through and try and put the nicest elements together, or, you know, try and put a landscape together. But I liked that side of it a lot more than the product or production side of it, in a sense, at least. And I've always been really interested in the fine art photographers that are out there, or the fine art landscape photographers, where you see some of the advanced kind of work that they put together, some of the ways that they're able to put real pieces, real elements into a photograph. It's always seemed so cool when you're really able to be in tune with that sort of stuff. And I don't know, I've just always loved the old landscapes and, you know, old fine art images from the past. So that's kind of the stuff that I'm trying to get into. But organizing this stuff has been interesting. So I'm trying to use this program called Scrivener. And maybe I talked about it before, or maybe a while back I talked about it. But Scrivener is kind of interesting. It's this, and I talked about it yesterday, I know, but it's this writing application that I'm trying to get into. And it seems like it would take a few tutorials to really figure out. It's a little bit more in depth. Hey, gravel truck. It's quite a bit more in depth than something like Word. Even though Microsoft Word is sort of an industry standard that everyone has sort of learned on for the last 15, 20 years, it really is a little bit more specific to like an essay, or at least the way I've learned it, but it's more specific to an essay format of word processing, where you're trying to get a page accomplished and you're trying to edit through that, or you're trying to edit through kind of a single document. And Scrivener is sort of laid out in a way where there's a few more pieces on the side of it, where it's really supposed to be a research application, where you're supposed to kind of compile different documents of text research or photo research, and you kind of put that together, and then you're able to sort of assemble a larger writing project from there, which I think is kind of interesting. Like I'd figure like book authors would use a writing program like this to work on their character outlines and their story outlines, their plot summaries, and then they would work that into the manuscript that they would make into their book later. So I don't know. I just think it's kind of an interesting way that they seem to be going, or that the program is built to sort of go about it. So I'm trying to get into that and do it well. But one of the aspects I'm trying to do is to put in all the portfolio photographs that I have into this Word document, and then sort of sort those photographs and write about those photographs a little bit to see which photographs really seem to connect with me connect with an audience the most. And also what photographs sort of have a story associated with them. I love that, like, if you would follow me for this for a second, you would kind of see that there's a difference between the photographs that are going to be the most monetizable, the ones that you can make money from, like, let's say portraits, let's say business portraits for some company. You could get some money for that, but you wouldn't really want to post that in your portfolio of work necessarily. You'd want to, like, at least in my case, what I'd like to do is show some photos from the Imnaha River Canyon, like where we were last week on our photo trip. So you kind of want to move into that stuff, but you don't, it's not going to be the same sort of thing. Like those landscape fine art photos, or just, you know, the landscape travel, adventure, tourism sort of stuff. That's all going to be on one side of it. And then the other is going to be, you know, senior portraits, business portraits, event photography, wedding photography, that sort of stuff. So there's sort of two sides of a portfolio. One of them's a photo product that's valuable for money, and the other one's an art piece that's valuable because of its aesthetic. And those are sort of different things that you're kind of, as a photographer, you're trying to build both of those up at the same time. It's sort of like two different routes that you have to work on at the same time until they sort of merge together and unify. So it's kind of an interesting part of it. And that seems to be part of the process that I'm in right now, is trying to figure that stuff out. So some weeks I'm working really hard on the aesthetic side of the photography. And then some weeks I'm working really hard on the monetizable compensation-based side of the products that I want to try and build as a photographer that's in business, right? And those are interesting challenges. But I guess I've been doing it for a couple of years, and it's kind of fun, at least to get to still be doing it. So a couple of things that I'm trying to do is I'm trying to go through and build a new Lightroom catalog of all the photos that I've taken this year and all the photos from the last couple of years, so I can organize those and do a little bit of what I'm talking about. So I have this kind of tighter collection, to maybe the top 100, top 200, top 50, some number in there of well laid out photo essays and stories with an image. You know, that's kind of what I'm trying to get to, especially for like the social media content side of it. I want to try and have that ready to go with a higher frequency almost all the time. So I'm trying to get everything kind of pre-produced, right? If that makes sense. So I want all the portfolio photos pre-selected and then ready for me to go if I want to post those or get those out on any given day. So it's interesting. It's kind of a cool project. I worked on it a little bit. I'll work on it a little bit here and there when I can, but that's another part that's kind of tough. I mean, gosh, I haven't even finished my website yet, which I guess the last part is still just this. I need to, it's kind of what it's been waiting for, is I need to finish the selection of the portfolio and then I can build the portfolio gallery and put that up on the website. But so far it's been working great just to send y'all over to Instagram. I think that's where most of the stuff goes. That's where all the current content goes anyway too. So
thanks a lot for checking out this episode of the Billy Newman Photo Podcast. Hope you guys check out some stuff on billynewmanphoto.com. A few new things up there, some stuff on the homepage, some good links to other outbound sources, some links to books, some links to some podcasts, links to some blog posts. All pretty cool. But yeah, check it out at billynewmanphoto.com. Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of the podcast. Talk to you next time.